this morning, we ask the Holy Spirit to move us and lead us into the truth and help us to understand what is written by your faithful servant Paul. And he's the champion of the cause of Christ. And help us not to oppose you, but to understand and walk in your way, so that we be truly blessed, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. And hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy, and bless each and every one of us. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I should begin with verse 17. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ did not send us to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. And that's how Paul begins with the cross of Christ. Then he ended in chapter 2, verse 5, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom or human wisdom, so that your faith is rest on God's power. And I strongly believe that when Paul write this 1 Corinthians, he was truly affected by, I think, John and Peter, because according to the book of Acts, chapter 2, that when they preached the gospel, they preached with power. Although Saul claimed to be a Pharisee, claim to be the one who knows the will of God, but end up God using a fisherman like John, and the Bible clearly stated that they are uneducated, but the only difference is they follow Jesus. Although they are uneducated, but because they follow Jesus, and they can perform miracles, and when they preach, they preach with power. But when Paul preached at that time, when Saul preached at that time, he preached without power, because he did not understand Christ. So the message is the message of God's mystery. And I believe that when you look around, either people can change your life, change your thinking to the right way, or when you look around to the wrong way, then you'll be led astray. When I studied this 1 Corinthians regarding the message of the cross, the message of the cross is that when Paul talks about the cross, Paul talks about the cross of Christ. It's not just the cross, okay? He talks about the cross of Christ. And then in verse 18, when Paul talks about for the message of the cross is foolishness, is the foolishness means the foolishness of God. The foolishness of God. Now, when Paul writes this, he's not writing this to tell the non-Christian they are fools and they don't believe in the message of the cross. I want you to write that down right beside 1:18, 1 Corinthians. When he talks about this, he's not talking to the non-Christian. I strongly believe that he's talking to Christian. I'm saying what I'm saying. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 to 17, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is useful for four things: for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I believe that Paul in here is not teaching us what the non-Christian are thinking. I think he's teaching us what the Christian are thinking. He's correcting their mindset. Brother and sister, I want you to write that down. I want you to write that right beside 1 Corinthians 1:18, you write that 3:16. The reason why God used Paul to mention about the cross of Christ in the scripture, so that he can use it for teaching us. You think that you don't know, teaching us. And when you claim that you know, and you think otherwise, he can rebuild you. And then later on, he can correct your thinking. And then when you are willing to be taught, then he's training you in righteousness. So that the man of God, scripture, is not for the non-Christian. Scripture is for God's man, for God's people. Because even though we claim to believe in God, we always have our own mindset. Sometimes we hear things that we don't understand, we don't buy into it, and we keep on doing our own thing until God's wrath comes upon us. Then we ask why, and gradually we start to understand why God said what he said. When Paul talked about the cross, not just the regular cross, it's the cross of Christ. When Paul talked about the foolishness, he talked about the foolishness of God. If we do not buy in the cross of Christ, that means we think God is foolish. God is not foolish. God is all-wise God, and God is Almighty God. Okay? So, I want you to go back to 2 Timothy one more time. Chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. I strongly believe that this message, I say it one more time, is not for the non-Christian. This message is for the Christian, for God's people. Why? So that the man of God may be thoroughly, completely equipped for every good work. Brother and sister, you can say you believe in God. At the end of your life, if you are unwilling to carry the cross, you're going to see Jesus Christ with an empty hand. But if you are willing to buy into the message of the cross and willing to learn from it, willing to learn from it, don't ever claim you fully learn everything from it. Take a look at what Paul said, okay? Philippians is the book that Paul wrote when he was in prison. And then, in chapter 3, verse 10, let's hear what he said. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. I want to circle the word, the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. One thing good about Paul, he followed Jesus. Whatever he teach, he himself did it. The right beside Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, right beside the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul said, God is faithful. God has called you into fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ our Lord. He called us into fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ our Lord. And He Himself do the same thing. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to have fellowship with Jesus Christ so as to share in His suffering, becoming like Jesus Christ in His death, that means carrying the cross. So that somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. And verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brother, he said that again. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God wants to crown the head of Paul with the crown of righteousness. God wants to bestow upon his head the glory of Jesus Christ. So that's why God wants Paul to preach about the cross of Christ. Brother and sister, if it's before today, it's okay. After today, if you still think the cross of Christ is irrelevant to you, that means you are perishing. You are perishing. You're not dying yet, but you are perishing. You are dying. Okay? But if you think the cross of Christ is the wisdom of God, the cross of Christ is the power of God, you are being saved by God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but Christ sent me to preach the gospel. The gospel including the cross of Christ. To preach the gospel not with word of human wisdom. Any preacher, when he preached the gospel with word of human wisdom, then whoever believed in his preaching, believed in his message, your faith is rest on man's wisdom. When your faith is rest on man's wisdom, and I'm afraid, you're not saved yet. But if your faith rests on God's power, if your faith rests on God's wisdom, for sure you will be saved and you will receive crown of righteousness too. If Paul preached the gospel with human wisdom, then the cross of Christ be empty of its power. The cross of Christ is very, very powerful. Powerful in what? Powerful for all Christians to live a holy life. If you do not have the cross of Christ, you can never live a holy life. I say that one more time. Without the cross of Christ, you cannot serve God. Say, are you sure? I'm sure. I want you to write that down. Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 26. Jesus said, if anyone wants to serve me, he must follow. In other words, we all want to serve God. We know that is the right thing to serve God. Not every people who serve God are following God. I want you to write that down. I give you a negative example. The wrong example. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 to 23. And these people, he claimed Jesus is his Lord. He called Jesus Lord, Lord, But Jesus said, not everyone who called me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God. In other words, you think you are saved, but at the end of your life, and Jesus said, I do not know you. Who are they? Are they not serving God? You bet. 7:22, many will say to me on that day, on the day of judgment, he called Jesus Lord, Lord. But Jesus said, I don't know you. And you don't even know me either. Then they say, Lord, I serve you. Did we not prophesy in your name? I'm serving you. And in your name, drive out demons. And in your name, perform miracles. You write that down. Who is he? You write down Matthew 10. The one who betrayed Jesus. Judah. Judah is right there. Did Judah prophesy? Did Judah preach? Yes, you bet. Did Judah drive out demons? Yeah, he did it. Did he perform miracle? You bet he performed miracle. In the name of Jesus. Then 7:23, then I will tell Judah plainly, I never knew you, and away from me, you evildoer. He did not carry the cross, man. He did not. Don't deceive yourself, man. I say that one more time. This message is not for the non-Christian. This message is for the Christian. So that this scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, because we have a wrong mindset. We think that the cross, I don't need to carry the cross, because nowadays not very many preachers talk about the cross. Because he himself don't even carry the cross. He didn't talk about that, doesn't mean the Bible didn't talk about that, man. This kind of mindset got to be corrected. And then later on, we are training in righteousness. So that the man of God be thoroughly equipped to do good work. I want you to write that down, to do good work. You write down Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, is to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He wants each and every one of the Christians, so-called Christians, claim Jesus is Lord, Lord, carry the cross. I tell you what I mean by carrying the cross. I give you one illustration. I'm using Jean as an example. I'm using George as an example. I'm using Anna as an example. Make sure you don't date with any non-Christian. You carry the cross. You don't listen to it, the wrath of God will come upon you. Because he's leading you away from Christ. And I'm not kidding you. If you don't find any man who is Christian, you say to Jesus, I prefer to be single. That is the cross. You don't have to listen to me. You can keep on doing your own thing. In due time, when the wrath of God comes upon you, then you know I'm right. You can go ahead. You can look around. You look around all those people who marry non-Christian. What is the outcome? You just look around with your eyes open. We are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus. How are we created in Christ Jesus? He changed your mindset. He asked you to carry the cross. And he changed your life. He changed your thinking. He changed your action. Without carrying the cross, although you serve God, but you serve God in vain, because you serve God not in Christ Jesus. At the end of the chapter, which is 16, but I go back to 15:58. You know what Paul said? My brother, keep on serving God in Christ Jesus. for your labor will never be in vain. But 722 to 723, their labor is in vain. In your name I prophesied, in your name I performed miracle, in your name I whatever you say. I drive a demon in the name, right? Not everyone who drive a demon. I carry the cross. Remember the book of Acts? The high priest, the seventh son, get beat up by the demon. Did he drive out demon? Yeah, you bet he drive out demon. Lo and behold, when he met the weakest demon, then he beat him up. Okay? My dear brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the will of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord means you carry the cross and serve Him. You don't do your own thing and serve Him. You do your own thing and serve Him, you follow Judah. Everybody say it. I didn't hear that. What do you say? I'm watching her, okay? I'm going to watch over you. I say to my daughter, you know, if you don't find any, not so large and handsome, I mean, if you don't find any godly man, I say, okay? So large and handsome, you can only find in the south. We don't have much in here, okay? Brother and sister, always give yourself only to the work of the Lord that's carrying the cross. And this person who served God, you wait that time. You wait that time. God's book, John chapter 12, verse 26. Go back to God's book, John chapter 12, 26. Whoever served me, served Jesus, must follow. In other words, you want to serve Jesus and you refuse to follow Him, your service is in vain. The end result is, Jesus said, I do not know Him. Write that down. Matthew 7:21 to 23. Where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. You know why He honors you? Because you take so much shame and suffer to carry the cross. You honor Jesus, you honor God, God said, let me honor you. That kind of service is a glory and honor for God. Don't let another preacher deceive you. Okay? Let the word of God change your mind, change your action, change your direction. Verse 18, for the message of the cross is the foolishness of God to those who are perishing. I like that word, to those who are perishing. In other words, if you have this kind of mindset, okay, I don't buy in that, okay? I want you to turn to Matthew 16. Let's hear what Jesus said to Peter, because Peter said the wrong thing. His mindset got to be changed, but he refused to be changed until he become older, okay? Matthew chapter 16, and then verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elder, chief priests, teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day, be raised to life. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. If this never happened to Jesus, that means it will never happen to Peter too. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. The one who refused to carry the cross are controlled by Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind. You do not have in mind the things of God, but you have in mind the things of man. You only have man wisdom. You don't have God wisdom. Then Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone would come after me, I want you to circle the word, come after me, mean follow me, mean John chapter 12, verse 26. If anyone wants to serve me, must follow me. Anyone wants to serve God, must come after Jesus. What does it mean by come after Jesus? That means he must deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. This kind of following Jesus. For whoever wants to save his life in, refuse to carry the cross, refuse to deny himself, refuse to follow Jesus. He tried to save his life, will lose it. But whoever loses his life or me, that means willing to carry the cross, he will find life. He not only find life, he will find glory and honor from God. Okay, I think my explanation is good enough to convince you that this message is not for non-Christian. This message is for Christians. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That means Peter at that time are perishing. Peter is perishing unless he changed his mindset. But later on we know that he changed his mindset before he passed away. That's why he's qualified to write 1 Peter and 2 Peter. But to us who are being saved, he didn't say who are saved. He said who are being saved. The cross of Christ is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. Paul, using Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14, to confirm his teaching that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Who are perishing? What does he mean by who are perishing? Because God will destroy your life. If you think the message of the cross is foolishness of God, and God will destroy you. And God will frustrate you. But where's those who think the message of the cross is the power of God, is the wisdom of God, and God is saving. Okay? God is saving. And keep on saving. Verse 20. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Well, I want you to circle the word wise man. You write that down. All those people who preach the gospel before Paul come into being converted by God, right at the end, chapter 1, all the way to chapter 8. All these people who are used by God to preach the gospel before Paul preaching the gospel, they are not a scholar. They are fishermen. They are uneducated. But one thing, they are different from the Pharisee. The Bible says they follow Jesus. They follow Jesus. Because they follow Jesus, then they can perform miracles. Okay? Would you please turn to Acts? Chapter 4, verse 10. Then Peter said, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. that this man stand before you healed. Peter healed that man. In the name of Jesus, Peter performed the miracle. He's a fisherman. He's not educated. He's not a scholar, nor is he a philosopher of that age. He's not a wise man. He's a foolish man. And then verse 11, he is the stone you builder rejected, which has become the capstone. And then Peter proclaimed, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. They all hear this kind of preaching. I think Saul heard that too. Verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled. You write that unschooled mean they're not scholar, they're not philosopher of this age, they're not wise men, so-called. They realized that they were unschooled, they are ordinary men. They were astonished that they took note that this man has been with Jesus. Has been with Jesus means they have fellowship with Jesus Christ. They follow Jesus. They carry the cross. And they can do things no one else can do. It's not because you're a scholar you can do it. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 20. Where is the wise man? Did God use the wise man to preach the gospel? No! Where's the scholar? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And God made a fool of Saul, change his life, cause him to be blinded. For 3 days, he fasted and prayed to God, what is going on? Am I not serving you? Jesus said, you're not serving you. You're not serving me. You're persecuting me. So, God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. And God made a fool of Saul too. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, at that time, Saul didn't know that. Now, Saul knows that. So that's why his life was changed to become Paul. And he made that night. Verse 21. Since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. That's why at that time, Saul did not know Jesus until Jesus appeared to him, caused him to suffer pain, then he turned around. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached. I want to circle the word, the foolishness of what was preached. Where is it? You write that at that. To the foolishness of what was preached, you write that. That is Christ crucified. God was pleased through Christ crucified, through that message, the message of God's mystery, to save those who believe. You don't need to be a scholar in order to be saved. You don't need to be a wise man. You don't need to be a philosopher. You need to believe. You need to humble yourself. Do you remember what is the first saying when Jesus talked about the Beatitude? 8 blessings. Blessed is the one who is meek, who is humble. For the kingdom of God belongs to him. If you being a proud man, you think you're a scholar, you think you're wise, you think you're a philosopher, you think you're using your own understanding to understand Christ crucified? No, you're not saved. You just believe in it. And then once you believe in it, you keep on studying God's word, keep on listening to his message, keep on being taught by him, being rebuilt by him, being corrected by him, and then you'll be trained in righteousness, do the right thing. So that you are thoroughly equipped to do God's work, to do good work, to do work that's pleasing in his sight. And so that later on in life, he will honor you because you follow him. Just like Jesus Christ honored God by carrying the cross and died on the cross. and God raised him up and honored him. How God honored Jesus, then I know God will honor Paul in the same way. Brother and sister, I want you to remember the word. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Whatever I teach you, Jesus said, then you teach others to obey. First of all, you obey. Obey the cross of Christ. And then you keep on teaching other people to obey everything I commanded you. Surely, I am with you always to the very end. I want you to write it down. To the very end. To the very end of each age is also to the very end of your life. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 16 to 18. Paul said that. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. And then Paul did not hold any grudges. Paul followed the example of Jesus Christ, followed the example of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. May it not be held against them. Forgive them, for the Lord has already forgiven you. Although people, everyone deserved Paul, but the Lord Jesus Christ stood at my side. I want you to write that down. The Lord Jesus Christ stood at my side. Why? Because whatever Jesus Christ teaches Paul to obey, he not only obeyed himself, he helped other people to obey. And God said, Jesus Christ said, I will be with you to the end of the age. When everyone deserts you, then I will be with you. The Lord Jesus stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message of the cross, the message of Jesus Christ, the message of Christ crucified may be thoroughly, may be fully proclaimed, and all Gentiles may hear, and I was a believer from the lion's mouth, and the Lord, because he's with me, he will rescue me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What did Paul mention first? Paul mentioned 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. Paul mentioned about the crown of righteousness. He's been arraigned in Jesus Christ. Then Paul talked about what? Talk about salvation. Jesus Christ will save you. Brother and sister, you carry the cross. You not only have eternal life, you have eternal kingship. You can reign with Jesus Christ. This is the full message of the gospel. And God said, if you teach other people to obey everything I commanded you to do, when you are in difficult of your life, I will be with you. I carry you through. Until completion. Keep going. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom, through its human wisdom, worldly wisdom, the world did not know him, did not know Jesus Christ. And God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached, through Christ crucified, to save those who believe. Verse 22, Jews demanded miraculous sign. Miraculous sign means God power. Jews demand God power. The Greek look for God. Greek look for wisdom, but it's not the wisdom of God. It look for wisdom of man. Okay, verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. When we preach Christ crucified, it becomes a stumbling block to the Jews, because Because the Jews demand miracle sign, not this kind of miracle sign, okay? But after that's a powerful miracle sign. I want you to write that down. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, they are the Jews, okay? They're the leader of the Jews. Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. They want to see a miraculous sign from you. Right beside miraculous sign, you write that down. Chapter 1, verse 22. Jews demand miraculous sign. That's exactly what the Pharisees say, because Paul just recalling what he looking for, what he demanded from Jesus when he was a non-Christian, okay? The only difference is a miracle sign singular, but in here is miracle sign plural, okay? The Jewish people, they want to see miracle sign one after another from Jesus. And hear what Jesus answered. He answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asked for a miracle sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. What is the sign of the prophet Jonah? That means he was in the belly, for and Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That means Jesus Christ's crucifixion is the miracle sign Jesus will give it to you. Verse 41, the man of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, but now one greater than Jonah is he, that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the greatest prophet, greater than Jonah. Because the reason why Jonah was in the belly for 3 days and three nights, because he refused to follow Jesus, refused to carry the cross. So that's why he was there. He suffered for his own sinfulness. But Jesus Christ suffered because he did the will of the Father, out of willing heart. So that's why he's greater. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. That is in conformity with Jesus' teaching to the Pharisee and the teacher of the law in Matthew chapter 12. You write that down. But we preach Christ crucified, although it's a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, if your name was written in the book of Lamb, if God called you to follow him, both Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. So that means there are two different kinds of thinking, two different kinds of mindset. If you are perishing, dying, you think the cross of Christ is the foolishness of God, is the weakness of man, and is the weakness of God. Okay? But if you are being saved, you're being called by Jesus, you're willing to follow Jesus, believe in his message, the cross of Christ is the wisdom of God, is the power of God. Can you see a different mindset? Is it life-changing experience? That's what Paul says, you are created in Christ Jesus. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We used to think the cross is the foolishness of God. Why are you doing things like that? But now we say, wow, it's the wisdom of God. At first we think that's the weakness of God. Now we say, this is the power of God. You have totally become a new man. Your life has been changed. The more you need the gospel, I mean the gospel is the full gospel, not partial gospel. The more your life will be changed. Anna, do you believe in it? Okay, that's good. That's very, very good. Okay. Wow, that means God hearing our prayer. Holy Spirit move in our life. That's very, very good. Verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Verse 26. Brother, think of what you were when you were called. At that time, just take a look at the life of Peter and John. Who are they? They're fishermen, unschooled, ordinary men. But God, they changed their life to become Superman. Not many of you were wise by human standard. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. You know this one. You know what? You know what God used? God used Peter. God used John. They are in school, they are fishermen, you know. And they don't know much about wheat because they don't study, they are fishermen, right? And yet, when they preach the gospel, 3,000 people come to know Christ. On top of that, when John and Peter in Acts chapter 3, in the name of Jesus, I command you to stand and walk. And then that guy stand and walk, you know what I mean? Hey, why? How come he can do that? Brother and sister, do you know why he can do it? Do you want to know why? Tell me why, Gene. How come Peter and John can do it in chapter 3? In the name of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, I command you to stand and walk. And not only stand and walk, he jumped up and down. They were what? Okay, still has an answer to the question. Anybody know the answer? What's the reason why Peter and John and true men can command and that one is a lame man, cannot walk, okay, and can stand up and jumping up at that? What's the reason? He followed Jesus. There's still something easy. Nobody follows Jesus. You know what I mean? Of course I know he's following Jesus. Right? He is so filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Now that's a key point. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Filled with the Holy Spirit? This is Galatians 5:25. But brother and sister, a lot of people, they only look at Galatians 5:25, they don't look at 5:24. You can never be filled with the Holy Spirit if you do not carry the cross. If you carry the cross and crucify your flesh and your sinful nature and nothing filthy within your heart, you say, Lord, I want to use the cross of Christ to crucify all these wicked things and get rid of all these wicked things. Then the Holy Spirit can come inside your heart and fill you so much that he's totally in control. At that time, when they see Peter, they see Jesus is in him. Do you understand? Not just follow Jesus. Jesus is so occupied in him and use his life in his word. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? If I'm dating a non-Christian friend, can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? And you say, okay, start moving, and you say, don't hold my hand, okay?
Back off.
You know, and if she's my daughter, you know, I mean, don't hold my hand, you know. You come to see Pastor John first, okay? You got that? Get me too, okay? Those who belong to Jesus Christ, that means he has the Holy Spirit. crucify the sinful nature with its passion and desire. You crucify it, then you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or else you get the hammer same thing too, okay? If someone wants to kiss you, or I hope you're happy, back off. Okay. Verse 27, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose Peter and John to shame Saul. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God did not use to need a scholar, a philosopher, a wise man to preach the word of God. Only God wants you to carry the cross, deny yourself, and crucify your sinful nature. And then God fill you with the Holy Spirit, and your life will be changed. And you can do what is impossible to do. That's why the cross of Christ is the wisdom of God, is the power of God. Because when you're willing to follow Jesus, to crucify yourself on flesh with the cross, He can so fill you with the Holy Spirit. When they look at you, they see Christ live in your life. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So that all the Pharisees and teachers of the law feel ashamed when they see the fishermen can preach work like that. And they have the wisdom to understand the scripture and they have the power to perform miracles. I want you to write that down. All these unschooled people, unscholar, a foolish man, and an ordinary man, and yet they are so powerful in preaching because they have God's wisdom, and they are so powerful in performing miracles because they have God's power. Why? They carry the cross. They listen to Jesus. So that no one may boast before me, before Jesus Christ. It is because of Jesus Christ. It is because of God that you are. It is because of God the Father you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Brother and sister, the reason why you believe in God, the reason why you believe in Jesus Christ, the reason why you are in Christ Jesus, is because God called you. And God gave you His wisdom, God gave you His righteousness, God gave you His holiness, and God gave you His redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boast in the Lord. I want to stop here and say one thing. Salvation is by grace through faith. Salvation is not from yourself. Salvation is from God. The reason why you are in Christ Jesus, the reason why you are being saved, because God gave you the faith to believe in Him. God moved you. You can't say, oh God, I'm wise, understand the scripture. No. It's because God called you. God inflicts some kind of pain in your life, change your mindset, change your life, change your passion, then you are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ becomes your wisdom. Jesus Christ becomes your righteousness, your holiness, and your redemption. If you want to boast, you boast in the Lord. And that's why Paul said that. When I came to you, brother, I did not came with eloquency. I did not came with superior wisdom. As I proclaim to you God's mystery, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Make sure when you teach people, make sure you talk about Jesus Christ. Make sure you talk about Christ crucified. Because by preaching this, people will come to a full understanding of the gospel. verse 3, I came to you in witness and in fear and with much trembling. The reason why Paul said that I come to you in witness, when he claimed that I'm weak, then he asked for God's power. He come with fear, he's not adequate to proclaim that, then God gave him the ability to do it. He come with fear and trembling, he's afraid that he didn't preach it adequately, and he asked God to help him. And God filled him with the Holy Spirit and allowed him to perform miracle too. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive word. You don't need to persuade people. All you need is to be one. To carry the cross, to crucify your own sinful nature, so that you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and let Jesus Christ have a total control of your life. And that's why Paul said that when I preach the gospel, I preach the gospel with the demonstration of spirit power, of spirit wisdom, because he's totally filled with the Holy Spirit. He crucified himself so that your faith may not rest on man wisdom, but on God wisdom. May not rest on man power, but on God's power. Our Heavenly Father, if our faith rests on you, our faith will not be in vain. If our service rests on you and carry our own cross, not do our own thing, do what you commanded us to do, we know that we will be richly rewarded by you when we see you face to face. Anytime your servant preaches your word, help him to fully understand what you're trying to say to us, and help him to put it into practice too, and so as to encourage others to do the same, so that we can sense the very presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.